Absolutely insane opening night last night in the NFL. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Eagles win 24-20, but what happened in this game was just nuts. Before we even get an offensive snap, Jalen Carter, maybe the most important player on the Eagles defense, gets ejected because he spit on Dak Prescott. And that was just the beginning of what was a wild night. Had an hour and 4 minute weather delay late in the third quarter that appeared to turn the tide for both teams. Pearl, it was an offensive battle early, and then the defense is tightened up late.
We were seeing a classic primetime game. Remember when Patrick Mahomes went against Jared Goff, 54-51, Rams, Chiefs? It could have been that. We could have had a 41-34 game. And we were robbed by Mother Nature.
I know.
Because I think the offense would have kept on rolling if the weather hadn't come in.
Well, okay, so critical moment, actually, when that weather delay happened, because directly preceding it was, I think, the first turnover of the game. Yeah, the first fumble of the game. It was Miles Sanders of the Dallas Cowboys. Used to be on the Eagles, now is on the Cowboys. And he had just ripped off this 50-yard run, gets Dallas right in the red zone. And you think, all right, more scoring, more craziness, more fireworks on offense. He fumbles the ball, though, a couple plays later. Dak Prescott, of all people, the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, saves what could have been a fumble six, picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles with a big tackle, and then the weather delay comes in. So it was kind of like this moment where everything had been clicking for the offenses, as I mentioned, and then you had that fumble. Would that have, you know, Philadelphia goes and marches down the field after that and scores, does that kind of take all the air out of the sails for Dallas, or would they have rebounded? We're never going to know. Instead, we get that delay, and then we got out of there. The offenses were a little bit more out of sync, and the defense has clearly made big adjustments to try to stop the run on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, and the Dallas tried to stop the run, and the Eagles got conservative. They're like, for some reason, they're like, we're going to try to sit on this lead and control the ball. I think the Eagles before the game, or at least trying to pass the ball. And then,
I mean, A.J. Brown had one target.
Yeah, but
Devontae Smith had three.
Jalen was dropping back a lot. And it turned out he ran.
Running. Yeah.
And he was throwing to Dallas Goedert like it was going out of style. And he was throwing to Saquon. So least they were trying to pass. Then the running game just completely disappeared in the second half. I don't know how much to credit the rain or to credit the Cowboys defense. So I don't know what we take out of the game. It is hard to take too much out of week one. We'll see a different team. But I got to tell you, I mean, man, Eagles are whatever they are. I am optimistic about this Cowboys team. Not like Super Bowl optimistic, but they are way above where my expectations were.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what they had, because it's been such a tumultuous offseason with all the Michael Parsons drama. And now, you know, you saw that they were a huge underdog in the game. Not sure what you were going to get. And I think this is tough if you're a Cowboy fan or you support the Cowboys, because you were, I guess, pleasantly surprised by what you saw, the ability to run the ball. But how much was that just Jalen Carter being out of the game? You were able to run the ball. Eventually, you were able to stop the run later after the weather delay. But at the same time, you had the ability to win that game. And that's got to make you sick, because you're on the road. It's opening night. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. They shoot themselves in the foot with the Jalen Carter thing. And now you're in this dogfight with them where you're going throw for throw and toe to toe. And it was, you know, you've got a great kicker. Like, you have all the things. And it was a couple CeeDee Lamb drops that ultimately stifled the last Dallas Cowboys drive. In some ways, yeah, okay, you're just happy you didn't get blown out. Maybe you're a better team than you thought. And then on the flip side, like, you had that game, Pearl, and you could have had it, and you let it slip between your fingers.
Okay,
they did.
Maybe. But just because, honestly, the Eagles felt like if they wanted to turn on the offense, they literally, like a sink, turned the faucet off on the offense completely. Are you so positive at home that if they needed to score again, they couldn't? Because Jalen Hurts could have gotten back to that running. I think, I'm not sure the game was over. We were saying, like, if CeeDee Lamb catches a ball, the Cowboys win. It's not that simple. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but see, this is where I got to call BS a little bit on that, because it was still a one-score game. You weren't sitting on a two-score lead to get super conservative, and you were only leading 24-20, so that's not a great time to all of a sudden get conservative. And how conservative do you want to get? You know, the Cowboys forced a three and out to give Dak Prescott the ball.
Yeah, because the Eagles were just running into the line. They were not really opening up the offense.
Okay, but you're making it sound like that was the strategy. Like,
I mean, their play calling got conservative. You can't, after the break, after Landon Dickerson didn't come back, they just They kind of just like, we're going to slow this down and we're just going to get out of here. Because let's face it, they were having trouble before the break stopping the Cowboys offense at all. Even that last drive, the Cowboys gashed them.
Yeah, seven plays going down the field. And again, a couple CeeDee Lamb drops. I don't know. I'm curious from the Dallas fans. Are you more encouraged by what you saw, or are you sick because, you know, you had the game? It could have been a huge statement win. Yep. And instead you're going home with the L.
Well, I'll tell you why to be optimistic. First of all, the corners, I mean, look, like we remember, like, you're paying them a ton of money. They better be good. But if those guys, if Bland and Diggs are like full strength, I mean, there's not a better corner pair in the league. So that's a strength. I just, if you compare that with any kind of pass rush, then you got something working. And then we've got guys like Marshawn Nealon who stepped up. I think they could be a really interesting team. And the offense looked great the first half. Just fantastic.
Now, you kind of just glossed over there, like, if they can get a pass rush going. Well, it was pretty obvious that one guy was not there. And, yeah, who knows with Micah Parsons and his back and all that. But, you know, it was Jalen Hurts was feasting in the first half.
Like, talk to Michael?
Feasting with his legs.
With his legs. That's what I'm saying.
But,
like,
yeah, but they weren't feasting with the passing game. I mean, Jalen Hurts only had 150 yards on the night.
That's fine. But, you know, Jalen Hurts, that is an ability that he does have. And, you know, he was back there and then sort of, you know, they just couldn't apply any pressure to even make him feel really uncomfortable. Like, he was moving. Both offenses were moving, like, easily in the first half.
Absolutely. But easier said than done to stop a running quarterback. A guy like Jalen Hurts doesn't have the same reputation as some of the other running quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But that dude, if he wants to use his legs, you know what happened. And now I always said this. I said to you, the second he got paid, he stopped running. Then we found out, I think it was, or maybe it was, the Cowboys said, we stopped running Dak because he was too expensive. But I think the Eagles stopped running Jalen Hurts for a long time. 2023, when they struggled after the Super Bowl, Jalen never ran the ball. So last night, he was feeling fresh. But you know what happens with running quarterbacks. Like, if this is all they got, he's going to get hurt. So they got to really open up that passing game. Actually, it's funny. I felt more down on the Eagles coming out of that game last night than I did the Cowboys because of the expectations. I did not have the Cowboys in the playoffs. Now I think that's a very strong possibility. And I had the Eagles going deep. The Eagles have some problems. They got gashed in the first half, Maggie.
They did. But they're also like, it's a head game situation with Jalen Carter, because if you're going to spit on Dak Prescott in front of an official, and that's just the latest in, you know, red flag behavior from him, and not as serious as what happened to Georgia with the car accident, but still, like, he was a guy who dropped in the draft for a lot of reasons. And if he can't control himself, and this one was just dumb. You know, it's not even like you were over aggressive making a play, you know, playing through the whistle, something that actually might help your team. There was no help to this at all. It did not galvanize the Eagles in any way. In fact, I think it did the opposite. All of a sudden, Dallas' eyes got wide, like, oh man, Javonte Williams is going to be able to run here.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. Here's the question. How does Jalen Carter learn from this? If they suspend him, that's ridiculous, because they already basically suspended him for that one game. And I'd like to see precedent. I am very bothered by this NFL emphasis on behavior, like this stupid taunting penalty on Nolan Smith. I hope that they don't just go overboard with this and just kick everybody out. If they suspend him for more than a game, that would be insane to me. These guys spit all the time, and they get ejected. They should.
Yeah, right. It's gross. It's like, we're not endorsing it. It's not like you look the other way.
Just show me the history of, like, lengthy suspensions. It's just not something the NFL has done in the past.
The spitting, if you want to suspend a guy for spitting, I'm all for it. Try to, like, deter guys from doing that. I'll agree with you, though, on the taunting. Like, I just...
It's tough.
I think they're trying to do this thing like, oh, the children. I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, the NFL is really good at doing this. Like, you can go out of both sides of your mouth here. It's like, it's an extremely violent sport. What kind of message does that send to kids? But then all of a sudden, you know, the standing over guys and taunting. I don't know. As a parent, like, of a son, I see how impressionable these young kids are and how they emulate their favorite athletes all the time. So, like, I guess it's admirable. But when they actually throw the flag and it's a big point in the game, it feels so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, could,
like,
they...
You're standing over a guy, like, you're going to... Seriously, that's 15 yards.
I got a solution.
Yeah.
Is there an option for a 5-yard personal foul or something that... 15 yards is...
Doesn't have a lot of teeth.
Such a huge... Well, yeah, but it could be a big deal if you give a first down. It's such a huge game changer. There was a couple plays. I mean, the flags had a lot to do with this. I got to be honest. Eagles got some breaks. I mean, I thought the personal fouls were very difficult, but there was a holding that they missed that was a huge play. And there were a couple PIs I thought that they could have called on the Eagles that they did not.
How about the fact that Cooper DeJean was grabbing the guy's helmet and took it off, and then the other guy tried to take his helmet off, and the other guy got flagged on the Cowboys.
That makes sense.
Well, because he didn't. Then it's always a second guy.
Yeah.
And then DeJean didn't come back at him smartly.
Well, okay.
No, but Eagles got some good whistle.
So here's the someone called in earlier and said, you know, Dak Prescott and Jalen Carter, the spitting incident, if you will. So we didn't find out till much later in the game that Dak had actually spit at the towards in the direction, but to the ground near Jalen Carter. Mm-hmm. Then that brought Carter over to the huddle. Then they go face to face, and then Carter spits on Prescott, like very openly, obviously, right in his chest.
Information that NBC obviously withheld from us.
Well, to the point that's what the caller said. Like there was like some kind of conspiracy that NBC was withholding this to make Dak Prescott look good. But eventually, they got it out there. There's so many camera angles. That's my point.
Yeah.
There's so many cameras and so many camera angles. Like, to Manny's point, should it no longer be, well, it's always the second guy, like, who gets penalized, not the guy who started it. It's always the guy who retaliated. That probably shouldn't exist anymore, considering NBC has 50 cameras on that game.
So, but now what you're talking about is instant video replay. So you're saying go to the cameras?
Well, we've got 100 guys for that. There's a whole command center in New York.
But you don't like these delays. Like you're not that you're anti-replay, but you don't want them to expand replay to a crazy. If they're going to go back and look at the tape, that takes actual time. That's going to slow the game down.
Well, maybe that could be challengeable, or maybe...
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Maybe it's something where it's like eye in the sky, where if someone sees it, they're allowed to call in without a disruption in the game.
That's it. I mean, listen, a lot of that stuff is very much judgment call, so... Like, what is the degree of
who started it?
Like, I mean, you're a parent. Like, you have one kid. I have two kids. Like, who started it? Who is more egregious? It's not like foot on the sideline. It's not black and white.
But the Cooper DeJean one kind of was. Like, he definitely had his hands on the guy's helmet before, so.
But there's degrees of contact. I mean, you're opening a Pandora's box if you're going to review in real time every personal foul. I'm all here. I like it because it's so impactful.
Billy, let's go to the phones. Is in Buffalo. Good morning, Billy. How's it going?
Good. How about yourself?
We're good. What'd you think about last night's game? Cowboys narrow loss to the Eagles.
I mean, I kind of accepted it because, you know, everybody's been bashing the Cowboys, but no one realized it's like 3 out of the last 4 years we picked a defensive line in the second round. Like, I think once we traded Micah, there's no more stress. Like, it's just like go out there, perform, and get your pass. And maybe in a year or two, we'll try to put this back together with our draft pick.
Billy, you're from Buffalo? You're a Cowboy fan?
Well, I used to. My parents moved up here when I was 10 years old. I was from Pennsylvania, so I'm displaced. I'm a Cowboys, Knicks, and Guardians fan.
Hmm, interesting.
So, how do you think my pain is for not winning a championship?
Yeah, no, you're really in it. Thank you, Billy. The Guardian stuff I get because Buffalo and Cleveland.
You could be a Sabres, Bills fan.
That's
the Sabres.
Worse. Interesting. I get what Billy's saying. You draft a lot of defensive linemen. You draft a lot of offensive linemen if you're the Cowboys. And now that he said they can play kind of free because Micah's not there, I don't know. I'm going to respectfully disagree with my Buffalo brethren here that it didn't look easy for anybody last night to get anywhere close to Jalen Hurts. And I have a feeling that if Micah Parsons had been on the field, he may be, he's the one guy who could actually chase down Jalen Hurts. None of those other dudes can.
Well, it's funny. When Micah Parsons got traded, the line on the game jumped up a point and a half. So Vegas thought that Micah Parsons would have that kind of impact. Turned out later it came on down. Turned out, I think he did have a major influence on this game. We don't know how many snaps he actually would have played in Dallas. They did report that he definitely wanted to play this Thursday night. Like he had planned on coming out there, even though he's kind of questionable for the Packers game, which is something. But I totally agree. I think Micah Parsons is exactly what they needed last night. Maybe Sam Williams develops into that kind of player. Maybe at some point DeMarvion Overshawn comes back and plays. They got to find some pass rush somewhere, Mag.
We have poll questions that we want you to answer at Maggie and Pearl on X, or just call us at 888-710-4ISN, or come by the chat and hang out, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet and twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. You can also watch the show on X at Maggie Gray. Yes, the chat is feeling themselves on a Friday. So hats off to you guys. Question. What was the more game-changing moment of last night's Cowboys-Eagles game? Was it the Jalen Carter ejection pearl?
Fuck to it.
Or was it the hour weather delay? Now, this has gotten a lot more even. People now saying 59% say the weather, 41% saying the Jalen Carter ejection. They were both massive for different reasons. And the second question, are the Dallas Cowboys good? 63% of you say no dice.
I think before the weather, I don't know, I had this vibe that the Eagles were about to open up the game. I really felt like the...
Because the Miles Sanders fumble?
Yeah, after the fumble, I thought there were a lot of calls went against... I mean, I was saying they got benefit calls, but a lot of the Cowboys production came on, the Eagles' boneheaded mistakes. I thought the offense was about to really start clicking, and then it just died. When they came back, they had no juice whatsoever.
You know what? I would wonder, though, because on that final drive you did for the Cowboys, you did have two CeeDee Lamb drops. Now, the first one on that drive was egregious. For someone like Lamb, it was unforgivable. The second one, which was a fourth down play, which was the game, I don't know. That one was that would have been a very difficult. It's still CeeDee Lamb. You're still one of the highest paid wide receivers in the entire NFL. You're one of the best at what you do. That, to me, did not feel like a drop. That was way more gray area.
Yeah. When a guy is diving, it's not necessarily a drop. There was I think it was the same drive where there was an over-the-middle pass where...
The one that was egregious.
Oh, no, right through
his hands.
Well, no, there was a long pass that was super egregious that he dropped, like that he should have caught. No, the shorter over-the-middle, not the long over-the-middle.
Got it.
I think there were three drops on the same drive. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the Eagles definitely got lucky in that sense because that guy owns us. Did I just go us there?
That's all right.
I mean, he is a terror for the Eagles' defensive backs. And everyone's killing him right now, but you have to admit, like, he's a force of nature. I mean, early on in the game, he showed why he's the second highest paid receiver in the NFL. Here's my question. I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about, will George Pickens be a legit number two? And I think he will. They worked him in. I thought he looked really good when they threw him the ball.
He's just so good on the sideline. Like, he's always doing that. I feel like for Pittsburgh, I watched it over and over again. He's able to catch the ball, control his body. All these guys are really good at this, but I find that George Pickens really is great at those 50-50 balls right on the sideline. And they mentioned on the broadcast last night of what he does, which is catching the ball and putting it out, right, away from your body, which is probably counterintuitive, you know, to what you're taught, haul the ball in. But it helps because it can't get swatted away. But that really works best on the sideline because if it's in the middle of the field, guys can kind of break your arms apart, if you will, and lead to fumbles. But on the sideline, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, and we're just seeing this is the first week of this experiment. I mean, if Dak throws the ball like he was throwing last night, we're going to see some offensive fireworks. And they run the ball. This could be very similar to the team from 2 years ago that was 12-5 and actually looked good. Now, I don't see 12-5. But I got to be honest, we did our playoff picks yesterday. I would have been really nervous leaving the Cowboys out. Maybe I'm totally overestimating last night, but I would almost want to do over on that one because I did not know the offense was going to look that good.
Quickly, John's in Western New York. John, what'd you see from the first half to the second half last night?
Well, I think what's being lost here is what happens in preseason. And, you know, when they used to play four preseason games, usually the third preseason games, your starting offenses or your starting units, you got out there for a full half and got to play, you know, the higher intensity, faster game. Now what happens is, you've got where, you know, now they're coming out. Some guys have played. A lot of your veterans haven't played. And so, you know, you played the first half, and everybody played with a lot of energy. Then you had your halftime. Then they came back out, and they started to play again. Then you had another stoppage. And that's where I really think that I won't call it body fatigue, but maybe a little bit of body stiffness comes in.
Yeah.
And so when you see the ball being dropped or timing being off, I think that has a lot to do with it. These first couple of games, you know, they're going to be a bit different than what you're going to see through the whole season.
No doubt. So John, hold on one second. And thank you for the call. I just want to bring something up here. So definitely, you know, your body gets, like, you get cold, you know, and Chris Collins was talking about warming your body back up and how this is a hard thing to do for football players. And, you know, got to get that sweat going again and all of that stuff. So I totally understand it, but I can't blame CeeDee Lamb's drops on that. I'm sorry. That was, the game had already been resumed. You'd already had a couple drives. I mean, there's only so much I can blame on that weather delay. I know it was impactful. I saw that the offense is kind of grinding to a halt, but can I really blame the drops on that? It's like, that's your one job, is to catch the ball. And a couple of them were right in the breadbasket. Like, that's, I can't blame the weather delay for that.
No, I totally agree. But I mean, what do we want to do here? Are we saying CeeDee Lamb's, like, what are you saying about CeeDee Lamb?
No, I'm saying it's uncharacteristic. He deserves the blame. Yeah. I'm not blaming the weather. Yeah,
I'll say something about him. I don't know if he's a big game player. I think that's a fair thing to say about this guy.
Well, he's played big games against the Eagles before.
He started, I mean, when it really, really matters in big spots. Like,
and so week one is a bigger spot than any other Eagles game?
It's the opening game of the season. Yeah. It's been all this controversy about Micah Parsons. This was a massive spot. You start off the game red hot, and then when crunch time comes, your team needs you to make a big play. Mm. You get the drops. Like, I'm sorry. And then we've seen this guy in the playoffs disappear. People were saying, hey.
So is it that he disappears because he came out like a house on fire, or is it that he's bad in the clutch moment?
He's not going to come through.
Same thing to say about Dak.
Right. Can you trust CeeDee Lamb to come through in the clutch? And I think that's a fair question.
He bombed out against Green Bay in that famous playoff loss in the first drive. I mean, that wasn't in the clutch. So I don't know. I just don't.
I don't know if he's a big time player when it comes to these biggest moments, and he's getting paid like he is.
Why don't you throw that poll up as well? Is CeeDee Lamb not a big game player? 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. You're welcome to call in on that. All right, coming up next, predictable, maybe. Got some news yesterday. Is it going to torpedo one Super Bowl hopeful's entire season? Comes your way next.
Puck to it.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I don't know who follows me on IG here, but did you see the big development in the Perloff household last night?
No.
Somebody, Manny, you want to share with Maggie what went down?
Perloff made cheesesteaks.
Homemade cheesesteaks.
I did see that. I liked that. I like hearted it.
Yeah. Now, I got to be honest. It was just not the same. Like, you got to go to De La Sandro's or Pat's
Shocker.
Or Gino's, Ishkabibbles. Like, it just didn't taste the same, Meg.
So, were you nervous? Like, first of all, your Eagles end up in this dogfight with the Dallas Cowboys. They barely squeak out the game 24-20. You basically needed a weather delay to kind of save you, maybe.
That's absolutely not what happened, but okay.
Or Jalen Carter getting kicked out, certainly ejected from the game, certainly had to make you sweat. And then your cheesesteak sucks.
No,
like, were you thinking, oh my gosh, the world's against me?
No, the cheesesteak was before the game, and the whole world was in front of me at the time.
Like Air Boone.
I would be totally honest, it was dry.
You put it in an air fryer?
No. Oh. So the thing about cheesesteaks is they say there's sort of magic on that grill. It's a big grill, and years of cheesesteaks going through those grills at Pat's and Gino's have created this flavor.
Philadelphia logic, sure.
Yeah, so it's
It sounds like the health department should get involved.
I know it sounds super gross, but I think there's something to that. Just like
probably Jalen Carter spit on it.
I don't know. Like having an old grill that's worn in and like had a million cheesesteaks on it is delicious.
You're 100% right.
The worn in grill 100%. With all the little bits of.
Yeah. Is that gross though? Actually,
No.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's a reason why you clean your grill.
I'm not getting cheesesteaks with you.
Wait, hold on. I've got the photo up now of your cheesesteak, and it does look a little sorry, and I'm going to tell you why.
Whoa.
Well, I know why you're going to say.
That's first crazy. Of all, the bread looks a little like something about the cheesesteak bread has to have the juices and the sauces and the cheese all like soften it up. Yeah. This looks very rigid.
6 o'clock at night in Brooklyn, where am I going to get that cheesesteak bread?
I mean, no, you I'm saying it. the there's like make no it. Au jus. There's no, where are the juices from the cheesesteak?
You need the juice.
But they're on the bread. You can't see them. The meat is blocking the juices. That actually happened. But
where's the cheese whiz?
Yeah, you said I mixed
in provolone.
You did provolone. And I don't see any onions here.
You can't see them. They're mixed in.
I saw the onions. I did a little zoom in. I had some of the same thoughts that you did. I didn't want to bring it on air. But I did see some chunks of onion in that steak.
The cheese, when you do provolone, gets mixed in. You can't even see it. I didn't put in enough cheese. That was a problem. But... Yeah, I couldn't find, like, where would I get, maybe Bogues, you know, I would go, like, the right bread for that at an Italian bakery?
It's like a semolina roll? Is
you
that
need
what you're
a soft,
for?
Soft roll.
It's long, though.
Yeah, you need an Italian bakery.
My first observation was the fact that there was no Cheese Whiz on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go provolone. Couldn't find Cheese Whiz.
What?
Stop and Shop?
It's America.
Wegmans?
What do you mean? You
I was at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I think that's where you messed up.
Trader Joe's does not sell Cheese Whiz
correct.
People out there. Actually, I don't even know. I've never bought Cheese Whiz. Is that something that's easy to buy?
I don't know. Is it easy to buy in Philadelphia?
Not really, because nobody makes cheesesteaks at home. That's like a cardinal sin.
Enough.
Like, you'd be laughed out of your house if you tried to make a cheesesteak when there's one down the street.
Wait, I want... EJ needs to come back in here. He's getting the breakfast that I bought for everybody this morning because I lost a Micah Parsons bet very badly last night. It was how many times were they going to mention him on the broadcast, and I lost the bet before the first quarter was over. Thanks for nothing, Melissa Stark. I thought women were supposed to have each other's backs.
Thanks
now.
For breakfast, Ms. Stark.
I'm just kidding. There was somebody who tweeted us, and I want EJ to find it because I can't now, where they said, Perloff is always up for every kind of food challenge.
Yeah.
He'll be like, I'll eat a 92-ounce steak, but it's got to be tofu, and I'll, you know, like, you always want to change the terms of the eating challenges.
Well,
and this cheesesteak, like, explanations make me think of that.
Well, it's funny because earlier in the week, we talked about eating challenges, and I think I can drink a gallon of milk in an hour. I don't understand why
Yeah, that was a take that he had while you were... Were you here for that one, Bogey?
No, I was here for that.
Yeah. That's...
So it doesn't seem that outrageous to me because I... But I guess... And I think I'm not the only one with this. Other people say, like, that doesn't seem that hard, but I guess your stomach just can't handle that much milk. But I don't... There's too many calories in milk. I want to go oat milk or soy milk.
Yeah, that's where this tweet came from. Because you said you'll do the gallon of milk, but it has to be oat milk.
Not dairy.
Yeah, yeah.
We
no,
should
I'm
make you have
dairy.
To do goat milk because you said oat milk.
I think goat milk's a healthy alternative. Goat milk is in right now.
Kaplan put a picture of Perloff's cheesesteak on the stream, on the YouTube
stream. Okay, YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet,
Twitch. That thing looked dry.
To be honest, you self-owned, though. We would have never brought it up had you not. The cheesesteak.
Yeah, no, I have no problem. Like, listen, I screwed up. It was my first attempt. At least I tried. You know, you've made buffalo wings when the Bills, but is it your
They're
mom?
They're delicious.
Is it you or your mom?
My mom made them the first time, and then I took over, and the wings are so good, but the Bills played so bad when I ate them, I deemed them unlucky wings, so I stopped making them.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Because we all, I mean, listen, there is no bigger fandom than this office with your mom's cooking.
I know.
The biscotti. Bogus talks about it. It doesn't even matter if it's holiday season.
She's got summer flavors.
Well, okay.
I know. Actually, I was eating a coconut lime one the other day. Yeah. It was so good.
When it comes to that woman's, you know, baked goods.
Coconut's not for me, but you did make a lime, like just for fun, made cookies that had lime and white chocolate in them. Those were good. Those were good.
Pam's got unique flavors that she thinks up. These combinations are just good. Football. Let's do it. Bogues, what do you have for us?
Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott. The Eagles and Cowboys scored points in the first 8 drives of the game, and there was an hour-long weather delay late in the third, so the game didn't end until 12:18 a.m. Eastern. The first night of this new NFL season was a lot, and it was a win for the Eagles, 24-20, with Jalen Hurts throwing for just 152 yards, but running for 2 scores. Now, things might have gone better/differently for Philly had Carter not been ejected before playing a snap. Head coach Nick Sirianni.
Great, like I said, energy, tenacity, all those different things, but we got to do it within the rules of the game, and you know, we'll address that, we'll go through that, but we got to get better in that scenario because we need that guy on the field. He's a really good player.
Without Carter, the Eagles did hold the Cowboys scoreless in the second half. That included a Miles Sanders fumble in the red zone, the only turnover last night, which isn't what Brian Schottenheimer wants to hear.
We lost the turnover battle. That affects some things, right? We lost 1-0, and, you know, we're all about the ball, and we got to protect it better and got to try to create some takeaways on defense.
So, again, a 24-20 season-opening win for those Eagles. We still don't know if the Clippers actually circumvented the NBA salary cap with this odd no-show $28 million endorsement deal for Kawhi Leonard. Owner Steve Ballmer, though, is on the defensive.
I happen, for what it's worth, to think it's a very important rule in terms of promoting competitiveness and equal playing field across the league. But whether I agreed with it or not, it's the rule. And we've absolutely abided by that.
Toilets!
Yeah, I have infinity toilets for you.
1,160 toilets!
Which we can flush documents we don't want the NBA to find.
But I don't understand these quotes coming out from Ballmer. Is there any explanation of what Pablo Torre found? Like, just saying it didn't happen. Like, it sounds juvenile.
So,
it's like,
pretty damn cool!
So the story that he told in these interviews yesterday, as he starts to make the rounds defending himself, is that he admits that the company that in question, Aspiration, asked the team to connect them to Kawhi Leonard,
okay,
which they did, but then he says he had nothing to do with the deal that they then struck.
Okay, well, it's hard to disprove that.
Right, but I guess there would be a question there of, like, soft influence and hard influence on it, right? Because if you make the connection and then Aspiration not only does a deal with the Clippers, but then Steve Ballmer invests $50 million of his own money into that, and somehow a chunk of that money ends up going to his best player.
Right, like, well, how do you prove that, though?
Well, because they actually were paying Kawhi Leonard the $28 million a year when they were defaulting with all these other, like the whistleblower from the finance department is saying, we couldn't pay anybody at the end. Like when this is the end of the movie, when everything's spiraling and the helicopters are overhead and like the DEA agents are at the door, they couldn't pay anybody, but they had to make sure they paid Kawhi Leonard.
Partly because they were afraid of his crazy uncle, like, maybe blowing the whole thing up.
Well, that was the other thing too about this. Like, this is where it seems really hard. Like, there was already an investigation that basically Uncle Dennis, right? Yes. Kawhi Leonard's handler, uncle, had his hand out at every turn. At every moment was looking for things that were impermissible benefits, if you will. And then all of a sudden, he gets this no-show $28 million deal, and we're led to believe that there was no, and this company that's completely connected with the Clippers, and there's absolutely no connection to Steve Ballmer at all.
And by the way, right, that number is now closer to $48 million because Boston Sports Journal is reporting that there was an additional side deal that Aspiration did with him for an additional $20 million. So right,
the whole deal was a side deal.
Right.
Yeah, side deal.
So wow, you're talking about Ballmer investing $50 million.
Damn.
Kawhi gets $48 million. I mean.
But that doesn't answer my question at all. How do you prove any of that? Unless you have an email from or something saying where Steve Ballmer says, hey, give this guy a no-show job. Ballmer's defense is almost impenetrable.
Well, I guess that here, this is how Zach Lowe put it yesterday, which I thought was a good way to put it, which is you don't have the smoking gun, but you've got all the smoke. Like, you don't actually have maybe that email or that one line that says this is circumventing the salary cap. But you've got all the other stuff. And when they look back through the collective bargaining agreement, it turns out for something like this, you only need circumstantial evidence.
And I think
they have a lot of that.
And I mean, we only have one, I guess, employee that went on the record with Pablo. But you have someone saying that I was told this was done to circumvent the cap.
Right.
So if you have more people who maybe do have that paper trail or do have a phone conversation or whatever, that's where that comes in, I think.
Well, I think it has to be a paper trail. I don't think a phone conversation would do the trick.
Apparently, there's a lot of emails.
So. Yeah, like, okay, so, and
but
by the
way,
those emails all get, is there any kind of court case? Do they get discovered? Does the NBA get access to them?
Well, that's a good question. So I think this all became public because the company went into bankruptcy, right?
Yeah,
and now, like, you have a guy who was the co-founder or founder of this company, Aspiration, right? This Harvard guy, Ballmer's a Harvard guy. They're all together. He's
those Ivy League guys.
Yeah, he's being charged with like felonies of hundreds of million dollars.
$250 million of fraud.
Do you at that point you will say anything to save your behind, right? Or whatever card you can play to try to lower your sentence, you have to play that card. So if he's got something on Ballmer, I wouldn't trust, you know, anything, right? Wouldn't you use it? You're a desperate person who's probably looking at a decade in jail.
I don't know. I mean,
although, like,
I think people are making some assumptions that Ballmer's going to get kicked out of league or something.
No, he's too rich for that.
That was the immediate reaction. Like, well, I actually saw that a lot. Like, well, Ballmer needs to be come down super, super heavy.
He's too rich for
that. No, I actually think that this is going to end up being really unsatisfying because I think that people who are like, Ballmer is rich beyond rich. He's the sixth richest person in the world, right? Like over $100 billion. There's no way people like that ever get in trouble.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, but here's
and it's not even like illegal. I'm just saying.
You guys got busted by Pablo Torre. So, but here's the thing. Like, there's, you just said, if that description, there's a lot of smoke and no fire, then it's going to, there's no way they're going to get him. Because find the fire. And EJ, you said that maybe there is some fire. Like, find, you got to find the smoking gun or we're, it's going to be flat.
Well, again, according to the CBA, you only need the circumstantial evidence. That's what they, that's what Zach Lowe was saying yesterday. I'm not combing through 700 pages of the CBA. Someone tipped him off to that clause.
Right, but they're not going to completely blow up the team for circumstantial evidence.
No, absolutely not. No, he's never going to get the team away. He's not in trouble. He's not going to jail. It's none of this stuff. I just don't believe that people that rich ever suffer consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw the Joe Smith thing, and the Timberwolves lost 5 years of first-round picks. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it got reduced to three, but
yeah. But that was the initial
punishment,
right?
That was David Stern,
right?
Though. David Stern didn't mess around. Adam Silver, I don't know if he is that going to come down that strong.
But it might have been Zach or somebody else, maybe Sam Amick, said that this in particular is a big issue for Silver because he's such a pro, like the salary cap is his baby. Mm. So anyone that has messed and tried to get around it, he's going to go after them. Now, again, but then you get back to what you said is, what's the punishment in the NBA framework? Like, we're not going to care if he gets fined $100 million. That's going to do nothing for us.
Yeah, it's never going to be that big.
They don't have a first-round pick, I think, until 2029. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to there, and they're on the clock, or like their pick transfers, whatever, you're like, oh, from that Kawhi Leonard thing. Like, it's going to be forgotten by them. The only hefty thing they have is the All-Star game is there.
Mm. Well, they're not going to move that.
Well, that would be the only thing that I think you would feel immediately. Was that if they somehow, but like even saying he can't go to the All-Star game, that's nothing either.
Wait, it's at the new stadium?
Yes. Yeah, that would be the Intuit Dome.
Yeah, I mean, move the crypto. I mean, that's seems like an easy thing to do if you want to punish the Clippers.
Or send it to Vegas. Put in the Sphere.
No, I mean, we're putting it in LA.
That'd be cool.
We're putting it in LA be like a... Like a personal shot, like we're going to the Lakers, like taking it from Yankee Stadium to City Field?
I don't think so, because I think you're saying, hey, listen, like the city of Los Angeles, you guys didn't do anything wrong. I mean, maybe it's a shot a little bit at the Clippers, but whatever. It's 15-minute drive, whatever. Like, I think you would say, hey, the city of LA, we're not like taking it out of your city like they did with the Braves when they lost the All-Star game for Major League Baseball because of the voting stuff. Like, this would be, we're not going to banish the city. We're just going to, you know, hurt the team, which that is a big blow to the Clippers if they lose the All-Star game.
Yeah, didn't Charlotte lose the NBA All-Star game,
too? Yeah, I think they did, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Definitely an interesting scandal. I love how they...
1,160 toilets!
1,160 of them.
They dropped the... and we're going to change the All-Star format. It's like, that's not going to take this scandal off the front lines. Good job with the misdirection.
By the way, him doing all these interviews while the game was happening. I mean, he's on SportsCenter the night of the first game of the season. He's talking to Ramona Shelburne. And I'm like, way to just like try to just get this out without anybody noticing.
Or he could have just not done any interviews at all. That would have been my tactic, but he can't help himself. 888-710. 4ISN. All right, back to football. In a moment, we're going to answer one big question about the Raiders and also a little college football this weekend. We're excited to watch one very big matchup. We'll tell you about it next.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third and a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, we've made it. This is the last quarterback that we're breaking down here, Pearl. Let's go to EJ Stewart, who's got the big question.
All right, so we go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Shout out to my mom, big Raiders fan here. So, will Geno Smith lead the Raiders to a playoff appearance during his entire tenure with Vegas?
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
I want this to be true. Like, there's part of me.
Why?
I don't know. I always think, Pearl, I've maintained it. The NFL is better when the Raiders are good.
Yeah, but it's also got something to do with Tom Brady, and I just don't get it because Tom Brady beat your Bills forever. And now he's going to the Raiders, and I feel like you're pulling for the Raiders.
No, it's not about... I think it's just about, is Brady going to make a positive impact? Not because he beat my Bills. That's why I dislike Brady. Just the mere sight of his face makes me want to vomit sometimes. No, I'm kidding. But I'm curious if he can actually save the franchise because they just are irrelevant, and that's not right to me. So I'd love to say that Geno Smith will actually lead them to the playoffs, but I look around the rest of the AFC and I want to be high on the Raiders, but who are they taking out? you got your top four teams, basically, where you've got the Ravens, you've got the Chiefs, you've got Buffalo, you've got, you know, Houston, you've got, you know, Cincinnati's right there. Pittsburgh is right there.
Cincinnati, no defense. Pittsburgh's dicey.
You've got Denver. You've got the problem. Chargers.
That's a problem.
Like, there's just so much in your way. Let your own division, first of all. Yeah. And then just look at the rest of the AFC. I like Geno Smith. I trust him more than I trust Sam Darnold, the other guys who are kind of in his tier. But I just don't see how they break through when there's this many good teams in the AFC.
Well, I don't think it's the AFC. I mean, listen, you just named two pretty dicey teams in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I mean,
Cincinnati is has maybe the second best quarterback in the entire league.
Yeah, but their defense is terrible. Unless
so is the Raiders.
Yeah, fair. But I think the question, you know, it's an unfair question because I do think Geno is going to be really good for the Raiders. I agree with Maggie. There's just too much competition in that division, not the conference. That division is brutal. You got to play all those teams twice. But watching Geno in the preseason, whoa, can he sling it? I mean, there's just no doubt about it. He's still mobile in his mid-30s. I think he's a really good quarterback for what that's worth. Listen, they don't really have weapons. They have Brock Bowers and a prayer. We'll see if they can establish Ashton Jeanty as a real threat to put him in good down and distance. I think they're going to be fun, but you're right, it's going to be hard. And you point out good. They do have Max Crosby on defense, but that's about it.
You know, the Ashton Jeanty pick actually made me kind of nervous for this whole Tom Brady era. You know, I love that Pete Carroll is back to steady things, but, you know, I said it when the Giants drafted Saquon Barkley, and I'll say it when now the Raiders drafting Ashton Jeanty. If the rest of your team is not nearly ready to let a running back like that shine, like if you still have questions maybe on the offensive line, even though I know Pro Football Focus likes their offensive line, if you still have questions on the defensive line, if you still have questions in your secondary, if you still have questions all over the field, what's a running back going to do for you? Like, I think it's a tall task.
Oh, got to help all those things. I mean, if you have problems pass protecting, then get in a good down and distance. And it helps your defense. Obviously, a running game to me is the number one aid to a defense.
No, yes, I'll
agree
with you. Because
keep that ball, play keep away. That's what you do when your defense sticks.
I know, but does it have to be a top 10 running back pick, or should it have been more offensive line?
Like the Cowboys.
Exactly. Yeah. And look what happened to the Cowboys. Javonte Williams now looks very good last night. Now, granted, Jalen Carter got kicked out of the game for spitting on Dak Prescott, which you don't see every day. But they were able to run the ball effectively in the first half.
Well, I mean, the other problem, too, is if you're an opposing defense of the Raiders, who are you scared of at receiver? Like, nobody. So I think you can be a little aggressive. And if Jeanty's getting the ball a lot, then you start moving up. Because Geno is really good. The question is who he's thrown to. I like their rookie, Dante Thornton Jr., made one catch this offseason. They made in the corner of the end zone. This preseason, it got a lot of attention. By the way, do you think the average person, you guys probably might remember, might not remember, who the backup to Geno is?
Oh.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew.
No, is it still Aiden O'Connell?
Gardner Minshew?
Hint. Tiny hands.
Oh, Kenneth Pickett.
I forgot they traded him.
Yeah, everybody forgot. Kenny Pickett's a Raider? I think there's going to be a shot probably on Red Zone in week one where you're going to see Kenny Pickett on the sideline. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot that the Browns shipped out Kenny Pickett to the Raiders because the Browns got all the attention for
that
deal.
Was that Memorial Day weekend? Not Memorial. Was that Labor Day weekend?
I don't know. It was just like, it was all about Shador. Everyone was so busy. By the way, what happened to spending 3 hours a day on Shador?
Well, we're on to the season now. We can spend 3 hours on Jalen Carter spitting on Dak.
You know, I had two sons.
Then the whistle blew.
Somebody out there just learned something that Kenny Pickett is the backup quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders.
What about Shiloh?
Who says we're not educating America? At least one of us is. 888-710-4ISN. Nick Costa is going to join us next. Let's make some money.
And let's not forget Shiloh.